Hi everyone, it's so good to be with you this morning, and we really trust that you're doing well at this time. We really have been praying for you and trust that you've been encouraged, and we really trust in our God that not only will He keep you safe, but that your testimony would be powerful in this time. I want to pray before we start this time of sharing a message, and we just really ask that God's grace would be a reality here today. So, Father, we thank you for this morning that we can gather in your name in our homes, and just thank you, Lord, that you've given us homes, that we are able, Lord, to have a place to sleep and a place to be fed and a place to be safe. Lord, thank you that you have still provided for us even in this time of difficulty. But we thank you, Lord, that we're going forward with you and we're trusting you going forward. So, Lord, will you encourage us through your word today? May that be a light to our path. May our eyes be open. May our ears hear what you are saying, Holy Spirit, now in Jesus' name. Amen. Today, I'd like to share with you about where we are with COVID-19. And I really want to encourage you, as the Lord has placed upon our hearts, to be looking up. I want to just say looking up's good, and we need to continue to look up, but we also need to look ahead. There is a time after COVID-19, and we've got to continue to preach the gospel. We've got to continue to live in Christ. So I come here today to encourage you that may our eyes be opened, and may we be able to see with vision into the future. God wants us to continue to follow Him and allow Him to guide us and direct us by the Holy Spirit. So I come to encourage you here today. So the title of my message today is Looking Up and Looking Forward. So the text I want to use today is from the Old Testament, and I read from the New Living Translation. It's from Deuteronomy 17, verse 14 to 20. If you'll get your Bibles out and read with me. So I read now from verse 14. And yeah, the Lord is talking to the Israelites. You're about to enter the land of the Lord your God is giving you. When you take it over and settle there, you may think we should select a king to rule over us like the other nations around us. If this happens, be sure to select a king, the man the Lord your God chooses. You must appoint a fellow Israelite. He must not be a foreigner. The king must not build up large stable of horses for himself or send people to Egypt to buy horses. For the Lord has told you, you must never return to Egypt. The king must not take many wives for himself, because they will turn his heart away from the Lord. And he must not accumulate large amounts of wealth in silver and gold for himself. When he sits on his throne as king, he must copy for himself this body of instruction on a scroll in the presence of the Levitical priests. He must always keep a copy with him and read it daily as long as he lives. That way he will learn to fear the Lord his God by obeying all the terms of these instructions and decrees. This regular reading will prevent him from becoming proud and acting as if he's above his fellow citizens. He will prevent him from turning away from the commands in the smallest way, and will ensure that he and his descendants will reign for many generations in Israel. And I want to just expound this portion of scripture because I really do believe it applies to us as we're looking forward as God's people. There was something of Israel that they were going to be entering into the promised land, and that is their inheritance. So I've got in my body, I've got 2 points. First, the inheritance and God as a king. And under inheritance, God took them out of Israel and brought them took them out of Egypt and brought them into the promised land. It was his plan always to give an inheritance. And the same way under the new covenant, God has delivered us out of the world in Christ and brought us into inheritance in Christ. And he wants us in this place to take hold of our inheritance in Christ. So as we go forward, let's not lose this inheritance that we have in Christ. Firstly, let's take possession of it and let's settle in it, as Israel had to go and settle in a physical piece of land. But what we do in Christ. We receive Christ as our Lord and Savior. We are born again. Then we come to know who we are in Christ. And then we learn to abide in Christ. So firstly, we need to remember that we have an inheritance in Christ. Then God as a king. And we realize that Jesus is our King, but yet, as He is our King, He also raises up as under kings. As God is the great shepherd and as under shepherds, He's raised up in His kingly order, and he wants us to rule and reign in him. This comes from Revelation chapter 17, verse 14. It says that they will make war against the Lamb, but the Lamb will overcome them. But he is the Lord of lords and the King of hymns, and with him you'll be called chosen and faithful followers. So this word, the word in Revelation tells us that he's the Lord of lords and the King of kings. And we know that he is the Lord, and we know who he is, the King. But who is the lords and the kings? That's you and I. And I wanted to say God has chosen us to be kings. As in Deuteronomy 17:15, God said, make sure you appoint a king the Lord your God has chosen. And I want to encourage you here today is that God has chosen you. He set you aside from time beginning. He predestined you to be part of his family, to rule and reign in him. And we see that in John chapter 15, verse 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit. God chose you, and he appointed you to go and bear fruit. And that fruitfulness is in Christ. And then Romans chapter 5, 17, it tells us that we've received the abundant provision of God's grace and the gift of righteousness that we might reign in life through one man, Jesus Christ. And that's what I really want to encourage us, as God has appointed us as we go forward in this time to rule and to reign as a king. I want to give some points out of this portion of passage. So practically, we have 4 points. How do we reign in life through Jesus Christ? So firstly, I want to just say is that God wants us to be in a place to build godly character. And that godly character is something that is in Christ. And God wants to develop that and to enable us to walk strong in Christ, that we can be pleasing to him. So number one, don't build large stables for horses. Why would they say that in the Old Testament? Because in the old times, the horses were a supreme asset of war. And if you had many horses, you were a very strong army. And God doesn't want us, want us to have us building our own strength. He wants us to be in a place that we don't build our own kingdom. And I say that again, he doesn't want us to build our own kingdom. He wants to be us to be part of his kingdom. He doesn't want us to have our own strong fortifications. Actually, he wants us to be vulnerable and allow him to be the one that's our strength. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be given to you as well. Why? He doesn't want us to trust in our own strengths and abilities. In 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9 to 10, it was Paul who had a thorn in the flesh and was complaining to the Lord 3 times to take away this thorn in the flesh. But he said in verse 9, my grace is sufficient for you, my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sakes, I delight in weaknesses and insults and in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I'm weak, then I am strong. And I want to just say that's where God wants us to be. Not that we're weak and we're broken, but we're weak in our humility before God, understanding his strength and understanding our dependency upon him, not seeking our own kingdom, but walking in his kingdom and the fullness of that. Secondly, the guideline was to say to the king must not take many wives. In the Old Testament, there seems to be a pattern that was available there, that if a man had many wives, they could lead him astray. And especially if they married foreign wives, could lead them astray to worship foreign gods. And this is a warning to all of us, is that we can be led away. And we understand from scripture even now that there's an apostasy. Those people are falling away from the faith. And the warning is that we're not to fall away from our first covenant relationship. That's with our God, with our Lord Jesus Christ. And then secondly, for those that are married, to our second covenant relation, to husband and wife. There are many things, as it says here, that can lead us astray from our relationship in those two covenants. So what are these things? I want to suggest to you that anything else that becomes first will take you away from your relationship with the Lord and relationship with your wife. What can this be? There can be things. It can be the things that we can buy, our cars, our clothes, our houses, our bicycles, computers. There can be many things that can lead us astray. It can be money. Money can lead us astray. It can be our work, our place of employment, where we find that work becomes the first in our lives. Can I say also it can be our families, that we can put our families before our relationships, our covenant relationships with God and our spouses. And then fifthly, also, it can be a religious and spiritual things, for many are led astray through religious conduct and being pious and not having an intimate personal relationship with the living God. Let's not fall into the traps of this. Let's keep our eyes fixed upon Jesus. Thirdly, the king mustn't accumulate large amounts of wealth and silver and gold. Why? Because if you trust in wealth, you will not trust in God. And I can assure you, many in this world, and even in this time now when we see the stock markets being hammered, we realize that many are losing hope because they're trusting in their money. And I want to say what an incredible time is that God will provide. God will put food on our tables. God will put a roof over our heads, and he will provide. Even though your investments might be going down at this point in time, don't fear. God is our provider. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. Psalm 91, verse 1 and 2 also says in verse 2, my God, in whom I trust. And I want to encourage you, that is a wonderful thing. Do not trust in anything else but the Lord. As the Levites had only one inheritance, that was the Lord. He was their great reward. May he be your great reward. Fourthly, he must write a copy of the law for himself. Isn't that amazing at that time that even a king had to sit down with the Levitical priests and had to write down the scriptures? It's incredible that how important the word of God is even in those days for a king. And I want to say for us, as we go to rule and reign today, we also need to be in that place that we would write down the word of God, that we would put it in a place in our hearts, write it in our hearts and in our minds, that we not only can remember it, but we can do it. As the scripture says, we need to be doers of the word of God. So firstly, under that point is that this is the word of God, that we need to copy it and we need to read it on a daily basis as long as we live. Now, I'm telling you that is not easy because we all get distracted and we have many things to fulfill. But the word of the God says to the king, copy it and read it daily, daily for the rest of your life. And I want to just say that is a thing that we need to do for the rest of our lives. We might call it devotion time. We might call it time of quiet time. And I wanted to say devotions are wonderful and they encourage you, but they never take away the word of God, which is the scriptures of God. Now continue to read the scriptures. And then secondly, why does he have to read the word of God? Because it will prevent him, firstly, from becoming proud. And we all have issues with pride and we need to put those aside. It will also cause him from stopping thinking himself bigger, better than others. Keep us in a place of humility. And then also, it will also prevent us from turning away from God's word, even in the smallest matter, the small little foxes that can come in and lead us astray. And then also, it will ensure our descendants will reign for many generations. This is a promise given to our children too, that if we follow the Lord and we do the things correctly, this blessing will follow to them. So in conclusion, we have a future. We have work to still do on earth, but let's work these points out in our lives. Let's take time to think about where we are and to deal with these things. As we received the prophetic word last week about the strongholds in our lives, I want to say strongholds they need to be dealt with. But I can also say we need to formulate godly character. And this is part of godly character, growing up in Christ. So let's follow these guidelines. Don't build large stables for horses. Don't take many wives or things of this world. Don't accumulate large amounts of wealth of silver and gold, and follow the word of God. And then I want to just say to add to that, abide and dwell in your living relationship with Christ. May God bless you as you've heard this word. So I want to just call on anyone out there, and if the Lord is speaking to you and you've never come to a living relationship with the living God, I ask today, will you bend your knee? Will you humble yourself before him? Will you call upon him and allow him to be Lord of your life? If that's you today and you see in this video and you would like to make a response, not to me, but to him, I call upon you today to call on his name. The scripture says, call upon the name of the Lord and you'll be saved. And I like to lead you in a powerful prayer that you may confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior. If that's you today, will you pray with me? Let's close our eyes because we focus upon Him. Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending your Son. And today, as I want to make right with you, I thank you, Lord Jesus, for forgiving my sin and enabling me to confess you as Lord and Savior. Will you be my Lord? Will you be my Savior? And will you allow me to follow you and to become your disciple the rest of my days? And also, will you fill me with your Holy Spirit that I'll be enabled by the power of God to follow you and to do things according to your way now? In Jesus' name, amen. To the rest of you, continue to look up and look ahead. We have a great future together in our Lord. God has planned this thing before time, and we're going to get through the season together, and God's going to enable us to be strong and to be powerful. So get ready for what's ahead. Enjoy this time in your homes. Be productive, be disciplined, and allow the Lord Jesus to comfort your souls by the Holy Spirit. God bless you all. We love you much.